God is good, man. It rained. God is just trying to move into our lives greater and greater and reveal to us His love, His goodness, and His truth more and more. And the title of the message, well, before I do that, I want to encourage each of you to take advantage of people who have a grace for breakthrough in certain areas. You know, when we first started this thing about a year ago, I preached out of 1 Peter 4:10, I believe it is, where we've all been given a grace, a gift of grace, and we're to steward it. The American church has been built on pastors for far too long. I don't have a grace for all your breakthroughs. And neither does Pastor Terry or Pastor Pete Briscoe or Pastor Jack Graham at all of these great churches. We have a gift and grace of certain things. But I think that far too long the pastors have been trying to do everything because the American church has come to believe that that's what the pastor's supposed to do. The reason when God started just giving me this download about team in Cambodia, you know, about 18 months ago, it was that we were going to have a business prophetic prayer council, and these men and women of God would be used to lay hands on people. People get promotions in jobs, finances, new creative ideas for businesses. In the first year alone, we've had three people step out and start businesses, and I believe they're going to be blessed abundantly. Because these men of God, and then Miss Nancy Lynch, who has that same gift or grace, joined them this morning. They pray for people, and I even look at some of you guys whose jobs they've cut from 55 people down to 5, and you've been one of the 5 standing. Can I tell you, I believe that that's the gift and grace of God, of these men of God who pray over this body for you throughout the week, not just on Sunday. And then when we have everybody stand, every one of us as believers, of New Covenant believers, have a grace to release signs and wonders. But too many times we've let the prayer line of the pastor be the thing. And we want all that. And Celia and I and the other leaders here, we love to pray for you, but you have that anointing for that breakthrough. And so a lot of the things I feel like we've been doing this first year is creating a culture of the Bible and not, it's kind of like the American church, if you will. And I love the American church. I love the Kingdom of God church, and God's bringing a little correction, in my opinion, to the American church. So in all that, I mean, I look at outreaches. And man, I'm telling you, I love to be with Chris Parrott when he prays for the lost and the hurting of our cities. I don't pray with that kind of compassion, or Wendy Kay or my wife or Bridget or others. I love it when I'm with somebody who really carries a grace for signs and wonders. You hear their prayer for the healings and miracles. Come to the things that we're trying to bring forth as a body. I'm not worried about the numbers. I'm truly not. God's going to take care of all that. God's kept the light bills on, and He's going to continue to do that. What my desire as the pastor, because we're all pastors, is that every one of us would get in the lane that we're called to get in. Amen? Well, last week I started talking about, I felt as the Lord was really moving upon my heart, that we were to do a prayer and fasting. And not just fasting, because when you just fast, it's just a diet. But when you mix in prayer and fasting, there's great things that can happen. And I'm going to talk again. I felt like the Lord had told me to take a couple of Sundays to talk about prayer and fasting. And I can't beg you enough. I hope every one of us join in. I can't beg you enough for you to start asking the Lord what you're to do, part of your prayer and fasting. We're going to begin it this coming Saturday on October the 15th. We're going to end it November the 4th. So today, and then last week, I felt like there's things we're to do to start preparing our hearts. I hope you're not going to wait until 10 o'clock on the 14th at night to go, you know, I guess I better shift in to get ready for prayer and fasting. What you prepare your heart for right now is the degree of breakthrough that I believe that we'll all get. Amen? Yeah. So today I just want to continue to build on a foundation that this prayer and fasting of this 20 days, it's not an event. The American church has built an event. We'll do the March for Jesus's. We'll do these, and it's going to bring all that. And I thank God for all those. But can I tell you, prayer and fasting is supposed to be a lifestyle. Prayer and fasting is supposed to be a lifestyle for sons and daughters of the King. So I want you to know that when we did the prayer, and we didn't really talk about fasting in August, it was to kind of start priming the pump. And now I'm going to talk about the opportunity to mix in fasting and the power of those two that are combined. Amen? All right. And I want you to understand something also. Fasting is not some religious order that, you know, because some of us grew up in denominations and fasting was supposed to be a rules and regulations. I want you to understand fasting in God's kingdom with prayer is a call to intimacy. It's an invite by the Spirit of God to draw closer to the Lord. It's an invite to draw closer to the Lord. If you will, let's turn to Matthew 6, 16 through 18. I just want to hit on some scriptures today so that you'll really see that we will all see the call to lifestyle prayer that it's supposed to be. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Now I see some of you fanning yourself. Now you're hot. Then you're cold. I mean. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. How many of us have done that before? Man, I'm really fasting for Jesus. Oh my gosh, I'm really giving up so much. And really it's an invite. The Lord's going, no, come up. It's not about what you're giving up, but it's what you can gain. I've done this mistake in the past when we started praying and fasting 25 years ago. I would look miserable, if you will. Because, like, I'm having to give up pizza or I'm having to give up this or that for a short season. And Ann's going, pizza? It's okay, Mike, to give up pizza. But, it's one of my favorite food groups. It's where I get my tomatoes and the tomato sauce and all those things. And being a youth pastor, it was a regular diet of, because it's cheap to buy and feed the masses. So anyway, you know, those calls to look joyful when you fast. I tell you the truth, that is the reward that they will ever get. Verse 17, but when you fast, comb all three of your hairs, Pastor Mike, and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Do you hear the message of the Holy Spirit in that scripture? It's an invite to grow closer to the Father. It's an opportunity for you to be full of joy of a 21-day prayer and fasting. It's an opportunity to, again, draw close to the living God. Every one of us have been given different realms of the truth of His glory, that the glory is His presence. And every time that we do something that says, God, I want to know you more, He opens up new realms of His glory, new realms of His truth, new realms of His love, new realms of His truth, new realms of His presence, new realms of His peace. Think about the Apostle John. This was a guy who had laid his head on the very bosom of Jesus for years while Jesus walked on the face of the earth. But new realms of His glory, you see it in Revelations 4. God even tells him, Jesus tells him, He says, I open up a new door for you. Come on up and know more of realms of my glory. I think one of the greatest tragedies to many of our lives in the American church, we get so spiritually satisfied so easily. And we stop growing, and we camp out at a certain place. We say we're only going to camp out for about a day or two, but then all of a sudden that day or two turns into a month. That month turns into 3 months. That 3 months turns into a year, and then all of a sudden that year turns into 20 years. And God is longing for a bride that will say, Lord, I want to know you more and more every day. One of the things I shared with C this past week as I was praying, I feel like the American church has built everything on the Sunday service. It's what pastors are trained to pray for all the time. And it was just like this past week, God says, Mike, you've got to help pray for the people 24/7, live 24/7. You live it and cause the culture of my bride to live it 24/7. In reality, I want to ask you something. You don't have to answer. Are you more after God on Sunday and Wednesday than you are on Monday and Friday and all those other days? Because if you are, you've been trained just like the American pastor has been trained. You've been trained to seek God on the Sabbath and the midweek service and not pursue Him to the degree that we come together on Sunday. I want to ask you something. If we were all right now today, say, God, I'm going to seek You every day for the next 30 days. I'm going to seek You and be hungry for You and Your presence to show up during the worship time, in the preaching, in the ministry on Sunday. I'm going to go after You to that degree on Monday. I wonder what would be different about this body in the 31st day. But you see, I see, and again, I love the church. It's what I've given my life to for almost 25 years. But God wants to rearrange the church of how it's supposed to look and to be. Amen? Does that make sense? A little bit more feedback. A little bit more feedback. Just kidding. All right, Matthew 9. Turn on over to Matthew 9 about prayer and fasting. Now think about these religious Pharisees. We do it all the time too. I just talked to you about some of our Pharisaical ways. It's all about the Sunday day. It's all about the Sabbath day. And so here are these great Pharisees coming to Jesus, and they're going to really indict themselves with their own words. Matthew 9, 14 and 15. One day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus. Now think about this. They are forerunners at one time. The very move of God you may have been in a year or two ago or 3 years ago can become an old wineskin if you don't know the seasons of God. Think about it. These are John the Baptist. They've seen the masses baptized. And now they're missing this next move of God that's hit the face of the earth. And it's Jesus Christ walking in the very flesh, the living God walking in the very flesh. And His name was Jesus Christ. They were missing what God was wanting to do in the face of the earth. One day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked Him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" And Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." See, that's what will happen. That one will come on when I have to turn off the lighter one over there, the air conditioning. So I want to make a couple of comments in this. We've got to be spiritual men and women of God and understand the times and seasons that God is speaking in. He's saying right here, right now is not the time for prayer and fasting for my disciples. But there's going to come a time and season when Me, the bridegroom, is taken away, and then they're going to mourn for Me. Did you know the original meaning of that word mourn is the word longing? Can I tell you that prayer and fasting mixed together will cause a longing for more of His presence, more of His intimacy, more of His truth? No wonder the devil's tried to get us to not fast very often, fast regularly. And even us, we'll say sometimes, "Well, I don't want to fast. That's law." No, it's not. It's Scripture of the New Testament. Jesus Himself fasted many, many times, and we're going to read that in the Word more and more. Amen? All right, so hoping that you're understanding the foundation of why fasting is to be. Let's turn to Luke 4. As Jesus is just about to get birthed out into His ministry, if you will, at the age of 30, He's just been baptized. Luke 4, 1 through 14, we're going to go through it real quickly. He's just been baptized. The Father has just declared over Him, "This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased in." Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where He was tempted by the devil for 40 days, and Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Now, if Jesus needed to do a 40-day prayer and fasting, and I'm not calling us to a 40-day prayer and fasting, I'm calling for us to kind of break in easy on a little Daniel fast or whatever the Lord, a little prayer and fasting. But if Jesus himself was called in to something so big of John 3:16 is now getting ready to be manifest to the world, for God so loved the world, he sent his son. Now for the son to go off into the destiny of why he was even sent to the face of the earth, he starts a 40-day prayer and fasting after his baptism. After the revelation that the Father is well pleased of him. Let's pick it on up and keep going on. Remember, he's hungry. I want to tell you, you're going to be hungry. But I want to ask you, are you hungry for more of God or for more physical food and the entertainment that the culture of the earth provides us? That's the bottom line of prayer and fasting. It really reveals where your priorities and your purposes are. It will reveal these 20 days. What it will reveal is how much you love or don't love the culture of the earth and how God wants to put things in priority. Amen? Man, I really am. I'm excited about this 21-day prayer and fasting. I have been. I've been telling C. I had lunch with Red on Friday. I said, I can't wait until we start. I hope that the church is really preparing their hearts for this. I am pumped and stoked about it because God wants to do some things in us and through us. It's an invite to intimacy with the living God. Hopefully, you're going to be more excited about it as I get through with this message. It's like James Robinson said, he was so funny years ago, I heard him say it. He says, yeah, fasting is the F word I can't stand. So I thought that was really humorous. See, now I got you into the message. Had to say something a little kind of tainty out there, and you go, yeah. I can tell you need a 40-day fast, apparently. All right, let's go on. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. I want to share something with you here. I feel the reason many of us go back and forth, if we're sons and daughters or not, we struggle with our identity in him, is because we haven't made prayer and fasting a lifestyle. In this, Jesus knows he's the Son of God. But he's walked in a place of intimacy with his Father. The Jewish tradition even taught him and trained him to fast. Well, some of them may have been fasting out of a religious law. Jesus was doing it at the age of 12 or at the age of 8 or whatever because he loved having intimacy with the Father. But Jesus told him, no, the Scripture says people do not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to be given to anyone that I well please. I will give it all to you if you'll worship me. Jesus replied, the Scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the Scripture says, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Then Jesus responded, the Scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God. And when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left until the next opportunity would come. A couple of things I want to point out in this. Some of us will quit trying to show the devil how much we love God if we will learn to walk in a place of intimacy and fasting mixed in together. I watch a lot of us as Christians and we got so much anxiety on us because we're trying to prove with our work effort how much we love God instead of just resting in the fact that we're a son and daughter of the King. When this prayer and fasting comes upon us, and hopefully you're preparing your heart, I believe the Word of God is going to explode in our lives. During this set-apart time of prayer and fasting, I hope you get the Word out every day and read it for at least 10, 20 minutes a day. And for some of us, there's a higher call than even 10 to 20 minutes. for some of us, and we need to know, and that's the reason we don't need to compare notes during this time of prayer and fasting, because somebody, God may tell Chris Parrott, I want you reading the Word 2 hours a day during this prayer and fasting. And for some of you, God may tell you 20 minutes. And when God speaks it, the value of that very call is the equal and the same to the Lord. The deal is, if God calls me to 2 hours of this 21 days of getting into the Word of God and I only do 20 minutes, I'm disobedient to Him. Amen? Right? Do what? So, one other thing that I think that comes from prayer and fasting is found in verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. I'm telling you what, prayer and fasting, well, what it'll do, it'll unlock your heart with greater revelation of the love of the Father. It'll unlock your with revelation that you're a son and daughter of the King. And it will impart greater power, because when you are walking in the Word, you're reading the Word, your eyes will be opened in ways, your spiritual eyes will be opened in ways that they're not when we're just filling every craving our physical body wants, we fill it with. Now, I'm going to hit on that for a minute. Fasting is not allowing your physical body to dictate your day. And it's not allowing your emotional issue to dictate your day. For prayer and fasting, according to the Word of God, is calling you forth, spirit, soul, and body, in alignment of how God made man to be before the fall. Amen? I know this is a boring message. It's just the very foundation of prayer and fasting. But we really have to get this, because we've lost this power in the American church. I double dog dare you to go to a third world country and look at the African missionaries in the eyes, or an African Christian, and how much they pray and fast. For those who've been to third world countries, am I right? I mean, I go to Cambodia and I'm touched, because they don't even have food, rice sometimes, to eat. And they're getting 8-year-old orphans up to join them in a 24-hour prayer and fasting at the ministry that this church is supporting, Deborah and So Paul. And when I'm meeting these 8-year-old kids a year and a half ago that are made to get up, and yeah, at that age, you're probably made to get up. But they know that for God to show up and provide rice for them to eat, they get up and they do their 2-hour stint of prayer and fasting. Every one of those 60 orphans that I talked to this past, or 2010 in February and March, they were called to, at different times, those different seasons of prayer and fasting, to get up at odd times of the night to call forth. We've got it pretty easy in this country. Let's turn to Daniel 9 and 10. I'm going to hit some highlights there, and then we're going to pray because of what the Lord wants to do with us, where He wants to call us to. Daniel 9 and 10 are, and these are chapters I'm talking about, great chapters to read during this prayer and fasting. It is a time that we can really see what God does in prayer and fasting. And I'm not going to go through every one of these, but I encourage you, I'm going to give you the spiritual address, and I encourage you to read these scriptures. Daniel encounters some really horrific things and some visions. He, chapter 10, he encounters that there's going to be great war and great famines hit the face of the earth. See, we're seeing a lot of that. And I want to ask a rhetorical question again. We're seeing great famines. We've seen almost 40 million babies aborted since abortion was approved. And I'm talking about my own life. Has it launched me into prayer and fasting for God to bring justice to the injustice? Daniel sees this in a vision, and it launches him into prayer and fasting. I point that out because it shows my lukewarmness, no matter how hot I think I am for God. Daniel sees it. He goes into prayer and fasting and a lifestyle. I think of what I've seen just in the last year or two, where I've seen incredible famines, and I've seen 5,000 babies aborted a day in America. It hasn't done anything to my heart, hardly. I hear the other day where 30,000 children die every day due to famine on the face of the earth. What is it doing to my heart? This is not some heavy message to make you feel guilty. I'm asking God, God, why is my heart not to the place that Daniel's heart was? And the Bible says that I get to live under a better covenant than Daniel did. He lived under an old covenant, Old Testament. I live under a new covenant, New Testament, that I believe that releases a greater authority, in my opinion, to call forth the purposes of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So this message that I'm sharing to you in my own preparation for prayer and fasting, I've had some few questions that I'm asking you that God's asked my own heart. Why hasn't these things launched me into some stuff? Amen? One of the things that you see in Daniel 9 and 10, prayer and fasting causes humility to come forth. You can read that, and if you're taking notes, this is where you'll find it. Daniel 9, verses 2 and 3, and Daniel 10, 12. And humility is a key to unlock heaven on earth. We read in the book of James that pride will cause God to stiff arm you, but humility will release the grace of heaven on earth. Prayer and fasting is two of the key components, in my opinion, that helps us become humble people. One of the things that I thought about when I was reading this was in John 1, 43 through 51, Jesus, who lived a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Isn't it amazing that he talked about how he says he gave a word of knowledge to Nathanael? He said, man, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under that tree. He said, wow, you really are the Son of God. And he says, you really think that's something? You've just stepped into a season that you're going to see angels ascending and descending. I believe the reason some of our spiritual eyes and our spiritual sensitivity is in trouble, it's dead in some ways, because we haven't been doing prayer and fasting from a place of intimacy. Amen? So I'm going to show you that by Scripture. Okay, so humility is unlocked. Through humility, we see the greatness of the great I am. You'll read what Daniel declares. I'm going to read a couple of these. You find all this stuff about seeing the greatness of God in Daniel 9, 4, 9, 15, and 17 are the verses. And I want to read that 1 and 17 here in a moment, but let's look at what he says. He goes into his prayer and fasting. I'm going to start in verse 3 of 9. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. Also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. You don't need to do that. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. All of a sudden, with prayer and fasting, you see a new level and revelation of the greatness of God. Down to verse 17, I love this here. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on the desolate sanctuary. How many want to know the smiling face and the smiling emotions of Jesus Christ? Through this prayer and fasting, you're going to get to know the emotions and the smiling heart of a living God. If you're depressed some days, I want to invite you to do a one-day prayer and fasting after this 21 days. Because what it'll do, it'll encounter you and let you touch the smiling face and the smiling heart of a daddy who loves us. Amen? Gosh, I wish people would get excited about this. Just kidding. Our identities are solidified in Him. 9:23, I want to read this, and what I mean by that, what the Scripture says in 9:23, the moment you began to pray, Daniel, a command was given, and now I'm here to tell you what it was, for you are precious to God. through prayer and fasting, you're going to know His love greater. And whether we're a man or a woman, we're going to feel and know that He thinks we're precious to Him. Guys, it's time to get a revelation that we don't get tossed to and fro any longer, but that we're sons and daughters and God loves us. He sends an angel to tell Daniel this very message. The command that God wanted you to know, Randa, kind of talking about how it happened with Daniel that day. God wants you to know that you're precious to Him. Through this 21-day of prayer and fasting, what God wants to do is to speak and tell every one of us that we're precious to Him. Can you hear the language of a daddy who loves you? Can you hear the language of a daddy who's smiling over your life, like it says in verse 17? We've lost that place because, again, I believe so many cravings of the world we've been consuming. And I'm just not talking about food. Every appetite that I want to fill my life up emotionally or flesh-wise, we do. And when you start saying, I'm going to stay away from that for a season, there's something about how close God will draw to you. He'll get so close to you that you'll feel the very smile of His heart upon your life. You'll hear the most faintest whisper, you're precious to me, Joyce. You're precious to me, Kaylin. You're precious to me, Ann. Who doesn't want that kind of prayer and fasting? I'm not talking about some religious deal. I'm talking about a place of intimacy. The language of the Spirit and the spirit realm is made known to us in a more real way. For you'll understand that you're not trying to chase after the gifts or angels, but they will become more seen and available to us because of the pursuit of God will grow close to us. What I mean by that, this is where angels literally show up and talk to Daniel. How many of you have heard people talk about they've seen angels? How many of us have ever seen an angel? Me too, Chris. Who else? Stephen? A few more? Nancy? There we go. It's a good thing to do. I wonder how many more of those encounters we would see because we would get so in tune and so close to the language of the Spirit of God. When I touch the cravings of the heart of God instead of touching the cravings of the earth. You've heard me teaching for a while about the culture of the earth or the culture of God. When I fill up my spirit, soul, and body with the cravings of the earth, I miss seeing the angels that Jesus said 2,000 years ago, what He said, hereafter you're going to see angels ascending and descending. Can I tell you, we ought to be having some encounters with the angels that give us strategies to bring the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Twelve through 14 in chapter 10 is a great scripture. I just want to read it. Then the angel said, he's already encountered the angel. The angel has told him again in chapter 10, you are precious to God. Jumping down to 12, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. And I have come with the answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Guys, probably a month ago, guys and gals, I preached about spiritual warfare. It's real. And these chapters in 9 and 10 of Daniel teach and speak about the spiritual warfare that's over our cities and over our countries. When you study the angels and the ranking of angels in the Bible, and I'm not going to get into that, or the rankings of demonic powers, principalities, evil rulers, and all of that that it talks about in Ephesians, they're real over our cities, they're real over our families, they're real over our churches, and sometimes you can walk into a store and feel a spirit of rejection or a spirit of mammon over certain things, and it's because over that store or over that region, a power or principality or evil ruler is keeping the kingdom of God from penetrating into people's lives. Prayer and fasting will bring breakthroughs for our cities. Prayer and fasting will bring breakthroughs for our own lives, our family's life. And no wonder the devil, in my opinion, has done a couple of key things to the church. Most churches don't believe in prophecy. And then we don't preach about praying and fasting very often because we see that as a religious rule. No, it's a call to set our cities free. Some of us haven't seen answered prayer because we pray for 3 or 4 days. Daniel had prayed for 21 straight days. In this scripture, you hear the angel show up and say, God heard your prayer on the first day. But I was restricted from coming and bringing the breakthrough for you because, man, what's really over this area, and it's the now-day area of Iran and Iraq, and you think about what's going on in Iran and Iraq, and you look at this passage 3,000 years later, no wonder there's such a stronghold over that area of Iran and Iraq. No wonder some of you have been keeping up with the Iranian pastor that's been threatened to be killed and everything. Well, it goes back to here that power and principality has been strong since the days of Daniel. And the church, I'm talking about my own life too. I hope you hear my heart, not being rough with you. But we keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting God to just do a Shazam in our cities. You like that? See, some of you, I got you to wake up again when I did the Shazam deal. Because we treated God like he's Santa Claus. We're called to live as sons and daughters from here and rule and reign legislatively his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. See, and I went down after our date on Friday and went and took all of her food and drove up and down Harry Hines and Northwest Highway. And knowing what I was going to share and what I'd been preparing on of the prayer and fasting, you see, there's that kind of spirit over that arena. But what kind of spirit of mammon might be over further north? Or what kind of spirit is over in Fort Worth? You see, that's the reason you just can't name everything. Well, that spirit's over there. No, there's different ruling agents that the enemy puts over areas. When you find certain areas where divorce is rampant over an area, or abortion happens, or whatever it may be, there's a certain ruling spirit over that area. But you see, I don't want Wendy Kay, myself, and others have to go to third world countries to get those revelations. We need it here over this nation because there is a great battle for the heart of this nation. For those that were at Sojourn when Fred Markert shared that America needed to wake up and that for the first time, this was 2 years ago, he said, what America needs is prayer and fasting. And I got to be honest with you. How many remember him saying that with Edward Sojourn? How did that cause any of us to do it? We don't realize how we've become that frog in the pan and we're dying. Everybody know the analogy of the frog in the pan? The frog would know to jump out of that pan if you started it out real hot. But if you started out kind of lukewarm, then you turn it up a little bit more, the frog never knows that he's about to die. And I look at my own heart and the heart of the Church of America in a lot of ways. the enemy just lures us into a little lukewarmness. And God's inviting us to a place of intimacy to legislate His kingdom. Amen? Just real quickly, and I'll finish up here. One of the things that I felt like we were to do it at this time also, on the fourth Sunday of every month, beginning October the 23rd, we're going to start spending time, just like we pray over people's businesses, finances, we're going to start praying for 45 minutes to an hour before church for everybody who's sick. We're going to have teams that will be there to spend 10 to 15 minutes consecrated prayer and concentrated prayer over you. I want you to know this just isn't something that Mike dreamed up. It's really a birthing, I believe, of the inheritance we have to release miracles in this area. Again, back to Cambodia, and I keep going back to where this church, your fruit of being here, of what God was speaking to me in Cambodia. He said, I want you to plant the church near Farmers Branch, Carrollton Capel area, for I want to redig the wells of revival of Robert Tilton. Some of you may not know Robert Tilton. He kind of fell off, but even Bill Johnson and others of them have said that there were 6 weeks that some of the most powerful miracles ever happened. Man may have compromised and lost that for a season. But even though we're only a few, I believe God has called us to come and redig those wells of miracles once again. And when you see that on our best day on a Sunday, we might only be 80 of us in counting youth and children. But have you ever talked to how many people have diabetes or eye issues or ear issues, can't hear, or have cancers, or whatever the list may be? That means that there's a call on this church for breakthroughs for us personally as well as for a region. Amen? Just a couple of last closing comments. Pray and fast. Clear your schedule. I've got to where I'm not planning on getting with anybody for dinners through that time. It's kind of like it says in Luke 6:38, for the measure that you use, the measure God will pour back upon you. If you really don't hear what I believe God is speaking to us as a church, if you only use a measure as little as that big, that's about as much as God, even in God's multiplication, He'll pour more upon you because He's a good daddy. But what would happen if every one of us said, you know, I'm going to clear my schedule. I'm going to turn off Dancing with the Stars. I said that because Jason posted that the other night, and I said, dude, you've lost your man card. So, my Facebook, yeah, they turned me off. That's good. That's good. The dude asked for Taylor Swift tickets. Then he goes, man, I'm watching Dancing with the Stars. I got on there and said, bro, Taylor Swift tickets and Dancing with the Stars, you have totally lost your man card. It's time to get our true man and woman of God card. Amen? It's time to clean our schedules. October the 15th, this coming Saturday, clear your schedules for some times with God. One of the things I felt like we were to do, find somebody in this body. I know all of us in here have some things we need breakthroughs for. I want to invite you to find two people in this body. You got 6 days to do it, and if it takes you a little longer, I understand. Ask them what they need a breakthrough for and pray for them. And I want to double dog dare you something. Pray for them 50% more than you're praying for your own need. There's something about a kingdom commodity that when you pray for other people's needs, God will bring a breakthrough more, as much to you in that. Right? If we could be so real and honest, 90% of each of our prayer life, 90% is all consumed of me, 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 me. In these 21 days, if you'll shift just a little bit, find two people who need prayer in this house. I look around, I see people who need jobs. I see people who need miracles, physically, emotionally, mentally, financially. Need miracles in the area of their marriages. And just share to the degree that you feel sharing. But share a breakthrough you need. There was something that truly happened that Sunday that Nancy came up and said. And it was after Wendy Kay just did a fabulous job of ministering earlier. And Nancy came up and she said, what would happen today if God started answering every prayer today at 3 o'clock? Would you change your schedule? And there was something, the way she said it, the Spirit of God just bore witness with my heart. It's time to change some schedules. It's time to change some priorities. And in these 21 days and even preparing up for these 13 leading up to it, I believe some lifestyles of kingdom living are going to be birthed. In closing, this first 7 days we started of intentional thankfulness. This is what I want you to do over the next 7 days. Let encouragement flow from you. Tomorrow, when you walk into your Starbucks or to a store, look for people to encourage. One of the things that it says in Isaiah 58, God's chosen fast. He promises, I will bring forth healing and my glory through if you'll quit doing a couple of things. And one of them is the pointing of finger of finding fault and judging people. The very best opposite way to do that is find people that you can encourage. And encourage this week, because you see, that's what New Testament prophecy is finding people to encourage. Start with your spouse if you're married. Go to your work associate. Go to those people that even irritate you. Go to those people that irritate you. Come on. Because this is getting down on the level of true kingdom living. You bless those who curse you. Come on, man. This is now really getting good. I mean, I've lived a fantasy Christian life in some ways. I was looking for my Bible, there it is. We've gotten away from really living according to the Word of God. We need to get back to the very basics of 101 Christianity, prayer and fasting for intimacy with the living God. So what's your homework assignment for next week? What else? Find two people to pray for their needs. Very good. You're listening better than you're looking like you're listening.